truly an honor to be before you again this morning. I thank God for the opportunity to be with you today. You may be seated. We have some lengthy scriptures to go through today, so go ahead and be seated. In Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for your help today. We ask that you anoint the teacher today, God. Touch his mind. Touch the congregation, Lord. Anoint their ears to hear, God, and receive the word of God this morning. I ask it in the loving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our topic today is about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. I'm so thankful that I serve a living God that is, not only is he concerned with the affairs of this world, but he's also concerned about me. He's concerned about touching this world through the likes of me. I'm so thankful. And he also wants to touch the world through the likes of us as a body. What are the gifts? The gifts are those that come from God when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or thereafter by the laying on of hands. And why were they given to the church? So that the church may benefit, so that this world may benefit and experience God and his fullness, his power, and his knowledge, and his wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin with verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, divide unto every man severally as he will. And that word severally there means individually and distinctly. Then I want to jump down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And now I want to turn your attention to Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 6. Romans chapter 12. Verses 5 through 6. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. And then lastly, Sister Dawn, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God. The theme here is one Spirit, one God, operating in the world today, operating in this church. The same Spirit. There is no other Spirit that you can operate under. Well, inside the Church of the Living God, I should put it that way. There are many spirits in the world. But you, when you're in the world, when you're in the church, you operate under the influence of the Holy Ghost. We are a part of a body that has been fitly put together, and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve one God, and you know his name is Jesus. He gave us his Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is for us today. The Holy Ghost did not cease in the book of Acts. It did not cease in the New Testament in Paul's writings. It is for us today. It's still being poured out today. He gave us also spiritual gifts. These facts I just mentioned to you set us apart from the religious world. The gifts were not given to govern the church, but to edify the body. What we know as a fivefold ministry serves to govern the body. These are found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that is the government. That's how God set it up to be. It's his church, and he can set up the way he sees fit. He gave us these offices to help us get through this life, to help us do everything in decency and in order. Now, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. They can be broken down into 3 categories. To think like God, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. To act like him, or to have his power, gifts of healing, working of miracles, and faith. And then speaking or talking, which is done through prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The gifts must come from God. Otherwise, you are working in sorcery and witchcraft. And that's another lesson in and of itself. They must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are functions of the various gifts of the Spirit. And I begin with the word of wisdom. Wisdom is God-given sense in the affairs of life. Practical, sound judgment, good sense, as in business affairs, parenting, or even in your marriage. Having a good understanding of life's problems and situations. Having a good understanding of truth. During the times when in Corinthians, where Paul was talking, the Corinthian church was a powerful church. But they were also living in a time of moral corruptness. And there was also false doctrine. Men were being led astray by that false doctrine. We as a church need to be wise in the scripture so that we are not deceived in these last days. Wisdom is promised to you if you ask for it. And then it will be given to you liberally. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us so. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to have the wisdom and the mind of God, not of man, but of God. Man changes tomorrow, but the word of God stays steady and it stays true. God never fails. The word of knowledge. God's omniscience, the means whereby God reveals things to the individual. Those little details about a person or situation that only God can know. But this is a gift that some people often find intimidating. Not many people want the little itsy-witsy details of our hearts and minds to be revealed. I know I don't. So the gift, the word of knowledge, can often be intimidating, but thankfully God gives that gift to those who can handle it, Brother Waller. Those people who are mature and they have wisdom in their life and they know how to function in that gift. This can be a very destructive gift if misused, if not handled carefully. Any of the gifts of the Spirit can be detrimental if not handled carefully. You would be surprised at what an anointed man or woman of God can know. I remember I had the privilege of sitting under Pastor Billy Cole for a while. Many of you know him as an apostle. He was a missionary to Thailand and to Asia. And Brother Cole would talk about sometimes how he would walk into a grocery store and be walking down the aisle, and he began to read people. That man was mildly used of God. God is so, or desires to be involved in our lives today in such a powerful way. That's how we can reach this world. You'll be able to reach this world by being able to work in the gifts, being able to minister to people. And then when you have their attention, you can be able to share the gospel with them. The gifts are a gateway for you to share the gospel with people, to teach them about salvation. That's what the gifts are for. Your ultimate goal is to see people come to a knowledge of God, a revelation of God, of who He is. Jesus demonstrated this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, where he was addressing the Pharisees about the power of God over the devil. We also see it in Matthew chapter 22, verse 18, where Jesus was addressing the Pharisees about how to handle taxes. And in John chapter 2, verse 25, we see that only God knows what is really on the inside of us. He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of men. Another example in Scripture, Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story well, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Samaritan woman, whom Jesus went out of his way to go and meet, in John chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In this thou saidest truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. God knows things about us that we don't even know. You can't hide from God. There's not even a real reason to try. He's the only person in this world that you can be blatantly honest with, and you're not going to offend him. You're not going to offend the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's what he expects of us as his children, to be as honest as you can. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Honesty is always the best policy. Discerning of spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are many spirits. There is a spirit of God, angels, demons, which are fallen angels, and a human spirit. And you have to be able to discern between these spirits and the Spirit of God. If you are a spirit-filled, water baptized in Jesus' name, child of God, you know the touch of the Master and you know his voice. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment of spirits serves to protect the church from spirits that are not of God. How many times you've been in a situation where maybe you were out and about, say, at work, or you were probably in a supermarket or something, and you came in contact or came around a person that began just to act real squirrely, for lack of a better word, around you? I've had that happen to me. My wife and I sometimes will be in the store, and people begin to act differently, per se. You know, we're not the only ones that have discernment. There's people out there that are not filled with God. They do not have the Holy Ghost. They are people that may have an evil spirit or a devil, per se. And when they get around you, you are a light. Remember always that you are a light. a city that sitteth on a hill that cannot be hid. You are a light. So every time you go out, you shed light. Now, there's people out there who are not living godly or not doing godly things. And when they come in contact with you, they're going to act a certain way. They're not going to understand. And you may not understand at the time what exactly is going on. But they are picking up on the God that's in you. They are picking up on the Holy Ghost that's in you. God is so very real. If anything I want to drive home to us today is for us to understand or to remind us to remember that God is as real as I'm standing up here before you. And as I'm talking to you right now, I can feel the angels of the Lord in this place. And they are here to minister to you because you are the heirs of salvation. They have been sent here to minister to you today. Let's thank the Lord for that. God is so real. He's so good. He is so good. Perception. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, speaking about Elijah, which passes by us continually. If you are a person of prayer and you engage in prayer, especially spiritual warfare, you stir up spirits. And I'm quite sure that's nothing new to you. I remember we went to men's conference one year, and then the topic was about spiritual warfare. And we bound some spirits that were coming against our families. And there was a mighty move of God in that place. And you know that a victory was wrought. I remember that night that night we went back to the hotel, and we had laid down. We went to sleep. We were asleep, and we were resting. And my roommate and I were the only two in the room. Well, in the middle of the night, I felt a presence come into the room, and it was not godly. I remember I was startled awake, and when I looked at the foot of a bed, there was a man standing at the foot of my bed. As I'm standing here before you, I saw a man standing at the foot of my bed. And he was not what I would perceive to be an angel. He wasn't white. There wasn't wings. I didn't see a halo. But I knew somehow in my spirit that this was an unclean spirit. So after getting over the jolt of waking up and seeing a man that I don't know at the foot of my bed, the Holy Ghost kicked in and I began to speak in tongues. And I rebuked that thing and it left. It left by the power of God. That I was asleep, but my Holy Ghost, the spirit that was in me, discerned and I knew that there was a presence in the room that was not of God. It was an unclean spirit. That's what God does for us. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. Even when we're asleep, God is taking care of us and he's watching over us. Hallelujah, Jesus. The gifts of healing. And I'm just scratching the surface on this. You can spend hours on some of these topics, but I'm just giving an overview, if you please, and an introduction to some, a review for others. Gifts of healing. To make whole or help to recover. Can be physical and or spiritual, and it takes place over time. That's a healing. If you have ever been using this gift before, it is amazing to watch God heal someone that was suffering from some kind of infirmity or some kind of disease. And you may have to pray more than once. This is not lack of faith on your part. That's just simply the way it is. God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, and how he chooses to do it. Our job is just to be available, to be sensitive, and to just do what we know what we're supposed to do. Amen? It is different from a miracle, which is an instantaneous work. I remember I shared with you a testimony about a young man, my neighbor. He had tumors on his brain, and I remember we talked about his mother, how his mother and I had prayed and agreed on their front doorstep. And God touched that young man, and he went back to the doctor for some tests, and the doctors couldn't find any tumors in his brain. It was like months later, but there was no tumors found in that young man's brain. I thank God that he used me and he used his mom to touch that young man because he was suffering greatly from that illness. That is the awesome part of when God uses you to touch somebody. He does all the work, and you get to see the benefits of it. That's how God works. I remember I was in revival in Birmingham, Alabama, when I was in school with Brother Freddie Clark. Many of you know him. And, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Miracles. Miracles are instantaneous works of God that go against the laws of nature. Limbs grow. Yes, that's where I'm at now. I remember when I was in Birmingham, and Brother Freddie Clark, who was used mightily in the gifts of the Spirit, came to our church, and he was praying for a young man that had one leg shorter than the other. We were in an altar. There was lots of prayer going on, and God was moving and touching people. There was many healings that night, I can remember. But there was this young man who had one leg that was shorter than another. And yes, we were there, we were praying, and with my own eyes, folks, I sat there and I watched a young man's leg grow before my very eyes by the miracle working power of God. Yes, go ahead and thank him. Thank you, Jesus. That very same God, remember, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. That same God desires to work in this church in the same fashion and has worked in this church in the same fashion and is working and will continue to work in this church in the same fashion. We hear all the time of people, testimonies of people who are hit by cars, who are injured, and a believer went and laid hands and they prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that person got to the hospital, there was not one scratch. There was no blood. There was no signs of trauma. How can these things happen? By the miracle, by the miraculous power of God. God chose and saw fit to intervene in the behalf or meddle in the affairs of men. These things are brought about only by the power of the Lord. Faith, the gift of faith, allowing God to do what he wants to do without us. You loose him and allow him to operate in any given situation. You believe that there is no problem or situation that God cannot handle. Paul talks about this in his letter to Timothy in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here we see Paul telling Timothy to remember the faith that his grandmother and mother had. And Paul also believed that faith rested in Timothy. I love people that have that gift of faith. Nothing is too hard for God. They're always talking positive. They're always believing God for every little thing, every little detail of their life. There's times where if you pray in the altar with somebody, you're down here, you're an altar worker, and you're praying with somebody, and you're praying with them to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, and when you lay hands on them and you watch God fill them with the Holy Ghost, you're working with faith because you believe in that God's word says, if you repent and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is promised to you. It's a result of what? Your faith. Your faith dictates how high, how far you go in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a necessity. Faith is a must. You must have faith in him. You must have faith in his word. Speaking gifts, vocal, the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is for an appointed time. You cannot put a time limit on it. How many of you have ever been prophesied to by just raising your hand? God's gave you some promises. Okay, many of you have. I would encourage you, if they have not come to pass as of yet, hang in there. Give it time. I remember there were some things prophesied in my life when I was in college that were spoken over me. And my old pastor would tell me, you put prophecy on the shelf and let it sit there, and in the fullness of time, God will bring it to pass. His promises are yea and amen. Do not get anxious in the waiting room like Abraham and Saul did. It can cost you dearly. The spirit of prophecy, though, is a powerful gift. It often encourages you. It is God's way of letting you know what is coming down the road. I remember a couple years back before I went our first trip to Spain, I was teaching at one of the prisons out west in Belgrade, west of town. And I was driving that Friday to teach the class. And I was just having a good time. I had an Indiana Bible College CD in the car. And I was just having a good old time in the Holy Ghost. And then I saw what obviously was a vision. I saw three lions. And one of the lions charged me. And I looked at that and I'm like, okay, God, what in the world is this? So anyway, I just kept worshiping God, and God's presence was in the car. I got to the prison, and I was teaching a Bible study. And any of you ever worked in a prison before, you know that you fight spirits. There's no other way around it. That's just, I guess, spirits hang out there and work, do exercises, push-ups, sit-ups, whatever. And they have their field day there. Well, in that class that day, there was three men. And one of those three men, there was an issue that he had about scripture. And he was not correct about the scripture. So he stood up in front of the class and he brought it out. So I had addressed that scripture that he was talking about. And he didn't like it. He didn't like to be corrected in front of everybody. Well, in a way, he brought it on himself. I didn't do it in arrogance. I didn't do it in anger. I did it humbly, or at least I felt I did it humbly. I felt like I did it in love. Anyway, he stormed out of the class. I have never in my life had anybody storm out of a class that I was teaching. And needless to say, that just unsettled me terribly. So we made it through the rest of the class, and I was coming home, I was in the car, and I was so disturbed by it, by the display that I saw in the classroom, and then I was reminded of what I saw when I was going to teach the Bible study. And then it's like the Lord was preparing me or showing me what was to come. And the Lord will do that for us. You will be going about your affairs or doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden the Lord will give you a word about something, a situation, or you may see something, and you may not have any idea what's to come, but the Lord knows what happens in the next hour. He's already in tomorrow. So that's one of the awesome things about serving him. We're serving a God that can take care of us today, yesterday, and also into tomorrow. And so he may show you things and you don't understand why, but with time, if you practice and you exercise that gift, that's a gift that's manifesting itself in your life, you will know. You'll recognize when God is using you through that to prophecy. Prophecy also, as you know, when you get a word for somebody and you go and you tell them about future things to come, God's going to use you, brother, say, in teaching, reaching college kids. God's going to use you to do this. God's going to use you, or God's going to do this, or God's going to do that. The important thing to know, although you may be so excited, you may be inspired at the time, pace yourself. Don't frustrate yourself. The blessings of the Lord do not increase sorrow. God didn't give you that to get you frustrated or flustered or confused or to act out of God's timing. Timing is everything with God. It's everything with God. So you have to be patient and wait on him and wait on God. It is so difficult to wait on the Lord for us sometimes. And it really shouldn't be, because that means that sometimes, I guess, we really don't trust him, do we? I mean, I'm being honest with you. Sometimes as you know, my wife and I and my family are called for the mission. And I remember the time of the day and the place when God said, this is how it's going to be. I said, all right, God, let's do this. And it's been some time since that date, and that time when the Lord showed that to me. But I've learned that it's a good thing to wait on God. I hate doing things over. With God, there's no B or C or D. You just can't slide by. You pass or you fail. And I don't like taking things over. I never failed the course, thank God, when I was growing up and I was in school. I didn't like the concept of going to summer school or repeating a grade. If we're going to do this, let's do this now and get it over with. So I've learned the hard way to wait on God. And I know that someday we're going to board an airplane. And we're going to go. We're going to do what God wants us to do. But it's all in his timing. Everything in your life is in
Hallelujah, Jesus. It's all in God's timing.
Now, there are those that operate with the spirit of prophecy. It's upon them, and there's also the office of a prophet. And a prophet is a man that sits in that realm all the time, like a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or an apostle. That is the office that that man holds. That's a God-given authority. That's a God-given office. But the spirit of prophecy, remember what Saul and his men, I forgot the location, but the spirit of the Lord moved upon them and they were all prophesying. The spirit of prophecy can be in the church, and it is in the church, it's in this church. Diverse kinds of tongues. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there is a sign that goes along with it. This is speaking in an unknown tongue, and it is for the church today. However, it is different from diverse kinds of tongues. After we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, a person may speak in a tongue that is edifying to himself, or he may give what is called a message in tongues. And we see this among us in this congregation, where a person speaks in a tongue, and there may be two or maybe three. But that is the tongue. He is either edifying himself, or he is edifying the church, or he's benefiting, or he's helping the church. That is his tongue. That is separate or different from when a person receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there will be a sign that goes along with that. And that sign, the initial sign of that, is speaking in tongues. There's no way around it. Some folks confuse that with the gift of the gift of diverse tongues, kinds of tongues in the church. There are two different things. One is when you receive the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. And then one is where God speaks to the church, or he may speak to an individual. A person sometimes speaks in tongues and it's for you, and a person may come and they may come to you specifically, you, and they will interpret that tongue. That's how it works. Interpretation of tongues, as it says, is pretty self-explanatory. Sometimes the Lord chooses to speak to the church through tongues and interpretation of tongues. And when this happens, the Apostle Paul gave some guidelines to avoid confusion. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. And it reads like this: How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things done be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. That's how the interpretation of tongues works in the church. Your gifts are to benefit other people, and not to draw attention to yourself. Although at times that may happen, it's simply a fact of life. That's the way it is. At times this cannot be helped. We naturally want to associate the person that is working by the Spirit of God with the action that is being done or what we see. However, it is important that you remain grounded and always realize that you are using God's stuff and that he gave it to you to bless other people. It is a body ministry. When we hear about the gifts in the Bible, they are usually followed up with an analogy about the body. If the body becomes ill, we do not cut it off, but we seek to repair it. We can't function without our toes, without our feet. We can't function without our hands. Everything that I was born with, I want to keep. It has a purpose. It has a use. So it is with the body of Christ. You are here. You may think yourself insignificant. You may think yourself unimportant. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Everybody in this church, in this body, has a function. You are important to this body. You are important to this church. Don't ever let the devil tell you otherwise. That's just how it is. So we are here to minister to one another and to help one another get through this life. We're also here to minister to the hurting people that come in those doors. There's people that come through those doors with issues that would blow your mind. And only outside of the divine intervention, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, will we be able to impact these folks and touch these people and help lead them to Christ. No other way around it. Singing is good. But you must allow God to move and do his will in a service. Don't be a destroyer, be a repairer. Be a repairer. Anybody can destroy or tear down, but it takes a real person to help repair. The gifts are wrapped up in flesh. When God speaks and you know it is God, you are faced with a decision to act or not to act upon what you know to be God. You don't always have time to think it through. We've all been there in a service. Now, God, is that you telling me to go pray for so-and-so? Really, God, is that you? Usually it is God. It is God. It's the best thing for you to do is just to simply obey. This is why it's important for you to know how God operates in your life. You have to practice with that gift that God gave you. And the best way to learn is by trial and error. And yeah, you're going to make mistakes because you're not perfect. You're flesh. God's spirit flows through human flesh. There's no other way. That's the way he set it up. So when it flows through, when it comes from God, it's pure. When it hits our gray matter, it's subject to some error. So when a person comes to you and they may probably try to give a word of prophecy, please don't shoot them down. Don't hurt them. Encourage them. If they miss, they missed. If they got it, well then praise God. We're both blessed. Okay? That's how it works. The devil does not want people blessing and helping anyone in Jesus' name. If you respond, you have a chance to see God act in someone's life. If you don't, you have missed another opportunity. This church is a safe place to step out in these areas. Pastor Kyle has said from the pulpit many times that he wants the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in this church. It is biblical. It is for us today. Remember, God is looking for someone to be obedient to him. Don't worry about what people may think. If you are pleasing God and doing what he wants you to do, then does it really matter what people think about you? There is no greater feeling in the world than to know when you have done the will of God. There is a peace that comes over you. Again, I wish to reiterate, there will be mistakes made, but it is important to stay humble and teachable. Have a humble and teachable spirit is priceless. Be submissive to them that have the rule over you, i.e. our pastor. He is our covering under the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn from your mistakes. Don't let the enemy beat you up over it because you made a mistake. The last thing the devil wants is for an apostolic revival to break out in the church of the living God. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in an earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is never about us, but about God and his kingdom." Remember, not everybody's going to be healed. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 through 27, it reads like this. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land." Verse 26 of the same chapter. "But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save in Naaman the Syrian." Who can be using the gifts? Any child of God can be using the gifts, be it a brand new babe or a mature child of God. Acts chapter 19, verse 6 shows us this. "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Not a matter of weeks, months, years passed by, just a matter of hours, just a moment later, they began to prophesy. The gifts must grow like you must grow. You learn by trial and error. You remain humble and teachable. Practice and learn how God signals you. Again, for review, word of wisdom gives direction on what to do in a circumstance. God's wisdom, word of knowledge, is informative, reveals things to you. Discerning of spirits, spirit of God, being able to discern between the spirit of God, the devil, angels, human spirits, and being able to discern the difference between them. There is no one or nothing that can touch you like Jesus. Learn how to identify what is God and what is the devil and what is you. Working of miracles transcends the laws of nature or that which is natural. Gifts of healings. The person who is healed is the one receiving the gift of healing. You are the vessel of God, chooses to flow through, gift of faith, inspiring faith, the dimension where you believe things are going to happen, and it also inspires faith in other people. Diverse kind of tongues, tongues spoken that edify either an individual or the church. Interpretation of tongues, interpret what God has spoken through tongues. And prophecy, where one speaks about the future. Remember, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God has never had a perfect vessel to use, so it might as well be us. And I'm quoting Brother Stone King, one of my favorite ministers there. We can all stand, please. I close with this, and I reiterate it again. Anybody, any child of God, in the sound of my voice, if you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God also gave you a gift. I would encourage you to discover what that gift is. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to benefit others. And watch God do a mighty revival in this congregation. You're dismissed. You have a couple minutes before we start B session. Go out, refresh yourselves, and come back and let's have church in Jesus' name.